Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Pastor Bill is away. He's in Mammoth. I think he's kayaking or something like that. He's having fun. And we're going to have fun tonight because, check this out, we're going to look at the Matthew chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. And I'm graciously not going to cover the entire chapter, but I am going to cover most of the chapter. And Pastor Bill this Sunday is going to hit the first part of Matthew chapter 13, which somebody tell me, what's the first part of Matthew chapter 13? Somebody tell me. Verse 1, yes, it's the first part. What is it, the parable of the what? Sower, okay? So he is going to hit that this Sunday. I'm going to hit everything else tonight. So when I say that we're going to have fun, we're going to have fun. And so here we go. A couple things that you and I need to know about Matthew chapter 13. If you were here on Sunday, we talked a little bit about the kingdom of God. And we talked, one of the difficulties of Matthew chapter 13 is that it puts two things together, the kingdom of God and parables. The kingdom of God and parables. Now, if the kingdom of God, there's so many different understandings and principles, and people write books and books and books on this is what the kingdom of God is. And then you move over to parables, and what parables are stories or accounts or things that Jesus says it's like, analogies. And so with analogies, you can take analogies 100 different ways as well. And so tonight, we're going to come, this is the fun part about tonight. We're going to combine two things together, the questions about, well, what's the kingdom of God? And what does he mean by these parables? And so we have our hands full tonight, or maybe I should say I have my hands full tonight. So let's do this to start off with. Let's take a look at what Jesus means by the kingdom of God, sort of like we did on Sunday, and we want to narrow down what does he mean when he says the kingdom of God is like. And so here's a couple things I think is important for you and I to know. Number one, Jesus says the kingdom of God is at what? Hand. In other words, what he's saying is the kingdom of God is here now. It is present. In some ways, there's this element to the kingdom that's in the future, but for right now, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is here. It is now. There's this account where Jesus is preaching and teaching, and John the Baptist is put into prison. I don't know if you remember this. You remember this. He's put into prison, and he sends some messengers to Jesus. And he says, I got to know, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one? Which is kind of funny because John had the whole message, right? Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he says, this guy who's coming, whose sandals I'm not even fit to tie, this Jesus guy is coming. So early on, we kind of see that John is confident in who Jesus is. But in the thick of battle, while he's in prison, he's saying, are you really the one? Now, I want you to hear Jesus' response because I think it's a kingdom response. It's what Jesus says, and Jesus is actually taking out of Isaiah 61:1, where Isaiah was prophesying about this Messiah that would come, and he would heal the land, and he would bring about change. And this is what Jesus' response is to John. I want you to hear this. You don't have to turn, I'll read it to you. Luke 7:22. Jesus says this to the messengers that had come from John. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. What's Jesus saying there? I am that fulfillment. He's telling John, and he's telling us all, I am that fulfillment. And in fact, not only am I the Messiah, the promised one, the one that was to come, but this is kingdom work that's going on here. There is what we call restoration happening. To those people who are sick and hurting and dying, I am bringing life and restoration to their physical bodies. I am healing. I'm doing amazing things. Jesus would say, the kingdom of God is here. Also, we would say this, the kingdom of God, and we talked about this on Sunday, the kingdom of God is not what the Jews thought, right? They thought he would come and what? Rule and reign and establish his kingdom. And we're finding out, as we've read through a couple of the parables already, That's not what he's doing at all. In fact, his kingdom, he would say, looks a lot different than that mighty, powerful kingdom. In fact, as we learned on Sunday, some of those kingdom principles are hidden and they're quiet. And they're not always out loud and bright. And in fact, Jesus is ushering in this kingdom, but people are scratching their heads thinking, why isn't he taking over Rome? Why isn't he ruling and reigning like we thought he would? Because there's an element to Jesus' kingdom that is, in a sense, hidden. The other thing we would say this, essential to the kingdom coming, is the entry of Jesus. Jesus is central to this idea of the kingdom. In other words, if you and I are going to enter the kingdom of God, both now, and I know some of us think, well, that's later on, but it's now. That's Jesus' point. The kingdom of God is at hand. If we're going to enter that kingdom, then Jesus is the key to the kingdom. It is our faith and belief in him and our repentance, as Jesus said, that will get us into that kingdom. Our trust, our faith, and our hope in him, trust in what he did for us on the cross, trust in who he is, and our repentance and living for him that will help us to enter, that will cause us to enter into kingdom living. Last thing about the kingdom that we want to develop tonight is this. Where is the kingdom then today? Where do I see it? Where, as I look around, Jeff, where is this kingdom? It's those places where God rules and reigns, where we see his redemption at work. And so as I get the pleasure of staying up here and looking at it, all of you, I see the kingdom alive and well and in many facets of ways working and going out into Huntington Beach and the local cities. God is using you and spreading out his kingdom work in this area of Huntington Beach and all around. You are part of the kingdom, and you are also part of the kingdom work, part of that redemption that God is using. Now, at one point, the kingdom of God will rule and reign, and we will see the power of God. And the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's when we know the kingdom is here in big, big fashion. But until then, there's this kind of quiet, hidden nature to this kingdom. So we want to look at this tonight. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off with a couple things here. I'm going to couple a couple parables together so that for our understanding and maybe even for our argument that you will have with me after I get in teaching this, they'll look together, they'll look alike, and we can kind of talk about them the same. And then I'm going to couple two more parables together because I think they're kind of alike. So that's the way it's going to look tonight. Roman numeral number one, if you were going to put these things together, I would say Roman numeral one is this. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Or the infiltration of the enemy is at hand, okay? I'll explain what I mean in a second. But Roman numeral one, which will be our first two parables, is it's either talking about the kingdom of God at hand and advancing forward. This is how radically different these two things are. Or it's either talking about the enemy, his power moving forward. Can you see that there's two radically different things? And I will just tell you, I have books stacked on my desk right now, commentaries of good, theologically sound, intelligent men of God who have written books on both of these things and disagree with each other. And so tonight, the fun part about it is I'm going to teach it. I'll show you the two different sides, and then I'll share with what I think it is, and then we could just fight the whole time afterwards. It'll be like just a big argument together. We won't do that, but it would be fun. Here's what we're going to look at. Look at verse 31. We're going to get to 24, and we'll look at that parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares, but I'm going to couple that at the end with another parable. So if you would just look with me at verse 31, and this is where you, as you read it, think about it. Is he talking about the kingdom of God moving forward, or is he talking about this other sort of kingdom or an element of the kingdom, which would be the enemy moving forward? As we'll read it, let's read it together, and then we'll talk about it. Look at verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in his branches. I'm going to stop right there, and then we'll look at the next parable coupled with this one. But let's start with this one. What is he talking about, right? We see very clearly there that he's talking about the kingdom of heaven is like. So we must dive into the idea that one of the things he is telling, and he's talking to crowds right now, is that the kingdom of God, you all, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a mustard seed, right? Smallest little mustard seed. And then when it's planted, it grows into this bush, a big bush, so big that birds come and nest in it. Let me give you the understanding here of one of the sides, one of the guys. So if you like puzzles, this is a perfect one for you. It's like a riddle in a sense. So let's try to figure out what Jesus is saying. Well, number one, we could start with this. He's making mention of this small, tiny seed, right? It's one of the smallest seeds. And for them, he would say it's the smallest seed. It's unassuming, right? There's nothing mighty about this tiny, tiny, tiny little mustard seed. The second thing he says is it grows. This tiny little seed, right? It grows and gets bigger and bigger to where so much so where birds can come and nest in it. Some people have said, and this is how crazy this is. As I read some of the commentaries, some are like these little mustard plant shrubbery things can get to be 15 feet. One guy said it gets to be 32 feet. And some people said, look, no higher than the pulpit, no higher than the pulpit. It's like, well, can we all just understand if you've been there to see if mustard shrubbery can get that big? Why can't we nail this down? And let me tell you why this is important, because so much hinges on how big this tree gets. How big is this tree? And so we look at this, and it says the birds come, and they flock, and they land on the tree. So what is the mustard seed? What is the shrub tree? And what are the birds? Like, Jesus, what are we talking about here? So the one element would say the mustard seed, right, is tiny and small, and it grows into the shrubbery, just like the kingdom of God is tiny and small, somewhat insignificant at the time, and is now growing and advancing onto the earth. Now, the question then is, okay, so we can get that. You guys all shake my head if you get that. That's one side of it. And then the birds, well, what are the birds? Well, some would suggest that the birds are just birds, and they're just, the idea is that the shrub has gotten so big that birds can come and just land in it. And so no more than that, just simply put, the birds are birds. Other people would suggest, like in Daniel chapter 4, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom growing and so much so that other nations come as like birds or animals, and they rest and they nest in this kingdom, and they derive benefits from this kingdom. So some people say, well, this is the kingdom of God, and it's advancing and it's growing, simply put, and other people are coming and they're getting shelter and refuge in the kingdom of God. And maybe that would be like us. Now, this is how radically different it gets. Some people say, no, 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 no. That is all wrong. It can't be, because the shrub doesn't. Jesus was saying that the shrub, you know, it grows, but the shrubs never get to be 15 or 32 feet. They're only small shrubs. Mustard seeds are only small shrubs, so it could never get to be that big, even though we have some people who have account 15 and 32 feet. But what then they say is, this is an abnormality. This is not like any other tree or shrubbery. In fact, and this is where we've kind of gone a little bit out of order, because if we jump back before this, which we're going to look at here in a second, Jesus talks about the birds, right? All the way up in front in Matthew, what do the birds do to the seeds on the path? They eat it, right? So the birds are bad. And so should the, so if we take the similarities, right, and Jesus is talking assumedly all to the crowd all at one time, he's telling these three parables all together, then we have to say, well, maybe the shrubs are bad or the birds are bad. And they've come and they've landed in this tree. And so keeping that same analogy, and also the fact that this tree, it's huge, and it shouldn't be huge. It shouldn't be huge. So Jesus is saying there's some abnormality with this particular kingdom principle. Something's growing in the kingdom that is not right or good. And it's causing bad well, evil people or things or strategies to come and land in it. You guys get that? So two different sides. One, that shrub is good. It's kingdom-oriented. It starts off small, grew big, and is shelter and refuge. And for other people, it's evil and bad things are landing in it. Whew. Two radically different teachings. And if that was enough, it's not. Let's go on to the next parable. Here's what he says. The parable of leaven. Look at verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them. Same group of people, same crowd. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Now, some, the same people that would say that the mustard seed is tiny and grow in this big tree and provided a refuge for the family, the same people over here, they would say that the leaven, simply put, it's something that is placed into the bread, it's hidden into the bread, and it advances and grows and goes throughout the entire bread like the kingdom of God has grown, starts off small, grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, these other people over here, what do they say? Leaven is always bad in the Bible, right? When it's used in parable or analogy form, it's, you know, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees because their evil will spread throughout. So be careful. Be careful of leaven. The Old Testament people, they would take out the leaven before they offered the bread to the Lord. So leaven in the Bible is bad. So what they're saying here is this leaven is like the evil that has grown up from the mustard seed and has gone throughout the kingdom and is spreading now throughout the kingdom of God. The leaven is bad. Do you see the analogy? So two people lying on two different sides. So then the question is, well, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this? That I would love, if we were back in high school youth group, we'd fire off the whole night here asking the kids what they thought, but we're not there. So I got to tell you, here's what I think. When I read this, and again, I could see where you could think something different than me. We understand that? So I think as Jesus is sitting there with the crowds, and he's telling him, he's saying very specifically, the kingdom of God is like, to me, what he is saying is this. The kingdom of God is small. It's tiny. Right? It's one man at one point. I am entering in. I am Jesus, and I'm entering into this world. And I'm going to call 12 disciples. And eventually, those 12 will get bigger, and more people will start to follow us, and we'll start gaining some ministry momentum. Until then, we get into Acts, and there's Pentecost, and more people will be added. And then we'll get further down into Acts, and more people will be added. Until we get to the year 2015, and the kingdom of God is on the move. And so for me, as I read this, I maybe it's because I have a simple mind, right? I totally can see that leaven is always bad in the Bible, right? But what if Jesus didn't mean it to be? What if it didn't have to be bad? Because what is he doing? He's telling a parable, right? He's telling an analogy. The kingdom of God is like, it's like a tree that grows big, and it gets so big that it, or a shrub that gets so big that birds can land it. It's like, I don't know, it's like leaven. Like when you put leaven in bread, you hide it in bread, it advances and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. That's to me, as I look at this, I think, man, that is simple. I can take it. I see the other side. So if you're thinking, I've always heard it taught this, praise you. Awesome. That's great. We can go, I can go that way too. I just see that Jesus is saying to his guys that day, listen, the kingdom of God is growing. It's advancing. You might not see it. Here's why I think it happens. And this is, I think, the takeaway, and then we'll move on to the second parable. Here's why I think he did that. Because, listen, as he's talking to these guys, the kingdom of God, maybe not, I mean, we see the kingdom of God so much more clearly because we know who Jesus is, we know what he was teaching, we've studied him, we've looked at him, we've seen the advancements of the kingdom of God. These guys are sitting in this, or this crowd is sitting there thinking, what is he talking about, this kingdom of God? What is this thing that he's talking about? He's like, I want you to understand something. It's small right now, but it's going to get bigger. Stay with me. Stay with me. Follow me. Follow me. You're going to see the kingdom of God advance. And then when Matthew is writing this, I want you to know about this time that Jesus, the Savior, was teaching. And it may not be readily clear to you right now as Matthew's writing, right? This message about the kingdom, maybe the kingdom isn't so big right now, but stay in it. Hang through your troubles. Because let me tell you something, God is at work and he's advancing his kingdom on this earth. And you may not readily see it so clearly now, but it is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I would say to me, as I hold on to this, I look at this and I think, man, oh, I just, that's what I see so clearly. And so I totally could agree. If you want to go a different direction, fine by me. Now, he goes to look at verse 34, because we could all be asking this same question. Why parables, Jesus? Why parables? And so it says in verse 34, and we'll look at it this Sunday. Pastor Bill will look at it this Sunday as well, because there's another reason why for parables. But let me look at this one. In 34, it says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables. And we're scratching our heads. God, why? And without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Jesus, that's actually from Psalm 78, too. Jesus is fulfilling prophecy. When he's speaking in parable, he's doing what he was called to do, which I'm going to speak in parables. Now, Jesus didn't always speak in parables, but from this point on, moving forward, he does to the masses and to the crowds. So you might be thinking, well, I thought Jesus spoke to people outside of parables, and he did, but from this point on, it's parables. And he's saying, listen, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. The other thing we see there is this idea that he is uttering things. Listen, look at verse 35. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. In other words, these things that are in parables are deeply important. The things that I'm sharing with you about God's advancement on the earth, or the enemy's advancement in the kingdom, whatever one you want to go, right? These things are valuable. You have to know these things. So then, Jesus, why teach him in parables? Why not just say it? Just come right out and say it. Because the other reason why Jesus uses parables is he's saying, listen, are you going to follow me? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to say, hey, I don't understand that. Can I get more from you? Are you going to take the next step? Because what is he talking to here? To the crowds, to the masses. And slowly, what Jesus is going to be doing here is drawing people out of the crowds and out of the masses for them to come and follow him. And he's going to do it through his teaching, and he's going to do it through his relationship with them. And he's going to say, when you don't understand this, will you take the next step to come and ask me that question? Will you take that step to follow me? So look what he does here. Now I want to jump back up to 24. Back up to 24, verse 24, right there in Matthew chapter 13. This is our second set of parables, right? They look very similar together, so I'm going to couple them together. So look at verse 24. Let's read this together. Another parable, I'll read it, and you can follow along. There we go, that's the word. Look at verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, or some would say like rye grass, or weeds with like poisonous seeds in them. So bad things, sowed bad things among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? And he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, the bad grain or the bad wheat stuff, bad things, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto the barn. What's happened, right? We all get the story? We all get it? Okay? The guy plants seeds, bad and good seeds start to grow up. His boys come out and say, hey, what happened here? What happened? Didn't you plant good seed? Yeah, I did, but an enemy, somebody must have poisoned our crop. Somebody must have come along at the night and spread out all this bad seed. Why? Because they want to ruin our crop. They want to try to knock us out. Right? And so there's now these good and bad things growing up together. And the people, the guys are like, hey, we'll go pull all those things. And he said, no, wait. If you do that, you may pull up some of the good wheat and we'll lose our crop anyway. So wait till the very end. And then when the guy comes out, the guys come out and they want to chop down all that stuff, they'll be able to very clearly define what the difference is between the good wheat and the tares, right? And at that point, we'll pull them, we'll be good, we'll get to keep our wheat. So then Jesus moves in, look at verse 36. Thank you, Lord, that he defines who these guys are. There's no mystery, which is awesome. The guys come to him, look at in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, what? Explain to us the parable of the tares and the field, which is like, yes. Now you wish he would have said also, while you're at it, explain to us the mustard seed and the leaven, right? Because there's going to be people about 2,000 years from now who are going to be sitting at Refuge thinking, well, which one is it, right? If you could just explain that, that would be awesome. But they don't. But they do get this one out of him. So listen to what they say. And keep in mind, he drew away from the crowds, and he's explaining to those that said, I want to know more. I want to know more. That's important, because what he's done is, I'm teaching in parables. I want those people who want to know to come after me and follow me. So now he's going to explain it. Verse 37, he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Great. Awesome. The farmer, the guy, he's the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the son of the kingdom. But the tares are the son of the wicked one. 39, the enemy who sowed them is the who? The devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. It's like, wow, thank you. Like, the key is there. Like, we could just all do that in our Bibles, because it's right and it's sitting so perfectly before us. There's no having to wonder or question of, well, what do you mean by that? And is that this and this that? And it's just all there for us. And therefore, listen, verse 40, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Who were the tares? Who are they? The wicked, right? The wicked one, the sons of the wicked one. Look at verse 41. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. Whew. Right? That's heavy. Because he's just talked about somebody called the devil and the enemy, and there's some consequences to And look at verse 42, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He just moved from like a farm analogy, right, to a real life analogy, because all his key basically pointed out to us is that this parable is about a real life circumstance and situation that is going to take place. And what he's done is he's pulled out all the players, all the actors in the play, right? And he said, these people are real. And there's only two of them. I didn't see any. There's no third of them. It's either those that are called the Son of Man or those that are sons of the wicked one. And Jesus is saying, listen, in this parable, he's saying there's a real moment in time where there will be judgment. This is part of the kingdom of God. This is a real deal. So there's no devil. That's just something that people make up. Well, that's not, according to Jesus, there's a devil, right? There's no hell. There's no condemnation. There's no, God wouldn't do, no, but this is the Son of God. This is the King of the kingdom. And he's talking to his boys and he's saying, listen, this is going to be important for you to know. As you've taken another step closer to follow me, you have to know this. This is part of the kingdom life. This is part of reality. And he goes so far, look, it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds like a terrible place. And so Jesus isn't pulling any punches here. He's saying, this parable that I told, it's going to be lived out in reality. Listen to what he goes on here. Then 43. Then the righteous, those would be the sons of man, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who has he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Daniel 12, 1 through 3, this is like an end times prophecy. Jesus is just pulling this out of Daniel. He's saying that Daniel says, those who are who are wise, who know the truth, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteous like the stars forever and ever. Jesus is saying, listen, this is what Daniel was talking about. There's a prophecy going on here. I'm fulfilling that prophecy. This thing, this judgment, will come to pass. It's going to happen. And so Jesus isn't saying that because he wants to send people to hell, or he wants people to have weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is he doing? He's telling his guys, this is the message that you're going to go out with. This is important for you to know. We might have been playing games before, but for now, this we're playing for keeps. This is going to be for real. Because this parable that I told you, you're probably going to be able to tell other people. You're going to share this with other people. And you got to know the players in this world and in this parable. There is an enemy. He is the devil, right? There are the sons of man and the sons of the evil one. We need to be in there, and we need to be in the battle and fighting for eternal lives. Listen to what he says next here. He will then go in and we'll talk about the parables that we talked about this weekend. So if you did not get that, you can jump online, take a look at the 44 through 46. And then he goes into the parable of the dragnet, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind of fish, more than likely. 48, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the what? End of the age. What's that? That's the judgment. That's the end of time. That's when there's a judgment that will go on. So it will be at the end of the age, just like the wheat and the tares. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Same idea here, dragging the bottom, huge dragnet of, you know, if you can imagine a huge net being dragged along the bottom and it's capturing up all these fish. When they get to the shore, they pull their nets up on and they start to sit, they sit down and they start to go through the fish. Good, bad, dead, broken, all this stuff. And they're now saying, listen, he's saying just like that, just like those fishermen, like, you know, guys, the fishermen, you all know, they sit and they go through their fish. The same thing is going to happen at the end of the age, come judgment time. Jesus, he's not pulling any punches here. This is reality for him, and he needs his disciples to understand what they are going for. What they need to understand is that he is saying, listen, there will be a final judgment. There will be an end time. It is real. Know this and know what is at stake. Look at verse 51. This is now him talking to his disciples. Again, there's questions on what does he mean by this. Lots of stuff written on it, so I'm going to give you what I think he means, and I'm right. So, no, I'm just kidding. Here we go. Look at 51. He says this. 51. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" I love this. They said to him, "Yes, Lord." That's hilarious, right? Is that not funny? Because, I mean, we're sitting here debating the mustard seed, and we're debating the leaven, and we're like, oh, yeah, we kind of get the wheat and the tares and the drag. And those guys are like, probably looking at it, they're like, yeah, we get it. We get it. Like, move on. I love those guys. They're awesome. Yeah, we get it, Lord. Then he says this to them. Listen, you get it, okay? You get it? Great. Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure, things new and old." Now, I thought we got it, Jesus. We go back. I don't get it, right? No, what he's saying, I believe, is I've looked at stacks of commentaries, is this. The scribes, what were they? Who were the scribes? Teachers of the law. They would teach, right? And so he's saying to them, listen, you now understand the kingdom. Like, I've just given you a handful of parables about the kingdom. We've had this discussion about the kingdom. And what does he call them? "Therefore, you, every scribe instructed concerning" what? "The kingdom of heaven. I've just given you information about the kingdom of heaven." Now, two things. One is, start living it out and start teaching what I taught you.
just like the scribes would teach, I want you to go out and I want you to tell other people about this kingdom. And I want you to tell them things that you are living out that I just taught you, new things that I've just taught you, that you now are understanding more about what the kingdom of God is. And here's the cool thing. I'm only telling you things that are fulfilling the prophecies and the Old Testament and the old things. So you have now in your palate scribes of the kingdom of God, this understanding about what the kingdom is like. What do we learn about the kingdom? We know it's small and it's growing, or we know that the enemy is advancing into the kingdom of God. We know this. We know that there is a serious nature to this kingdom, and there are two people that falls under, those that know the king and those that don't know the king, and there's an eternal life resting upon it. You know that now. That's new to some of you. That's, oh, wow, we can share that. Yeah, share that. That's going to be good information for you to go out with. So some stuff that's new, and you know some of the stuff of how I've told you that this is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, of the old things. Also, you're going to be living this life, and you're going to be uncovering things of the kingdom, the things that I've been teaching you. You're going to see them played out in your life, in real life. How when you honor other people, that's a godly principle. The first shall be last. Live those principles out, those truths out, and you're going to have something to share with people as you go about your life. Closing. Look at verse 53. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" And you think that would be enough, right? You think that would be like, yeah, that's pretty cool. He's from here. Is he not, that goes in 55, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph, some we'll say Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Because we know his family. So where's he getting this stuff? Listen to what happens. So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house." In other words, familiarity breeds contempt. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because why? Of their own unbelief. Now, check this out. Here's the thing. Jesus is saying, listen, the kingdom of God is advancing. And there are people, listen, who see the kingdom of God. They have eyes to see and they have ears to hear. But what is a reality, I think, for you and I and for Jesus as he's walking about his ministry is that there are some people who just don't see it. They just don't see it. And you would think the people of his own town would see it because he's one of ours and he's doing works. And they've even just said, listen, these are amazing teachings. Where is he getting these things from? But what did they have at the very end? They had unbelief. And so I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know where you're at as far as man, I don't know if I see these things. I don't know if I see the kingdom of God. And Jeff, you're saying tonight through these parables that there's a serious nature about being able to recognize Christ the King. And I would encourage you, and I believe this absolutely to be true, what he says, what Jesus says, to entrance into the kingdom of God is done through faith and trust in him. And that also, along with that, is repentance of saying, I am going to turn from my ways and I'm going to live for him with his guidance, with his direction. And so tonight, as you've heard these parables, as your mind has been blown, right? Of like, oh man, there's so much good stuff in this Bible. Man, I want to know more about it. I want to encourage you to know more about the King. Come to him. Walk with him. There is a serious nature about knowing him. And so let's pray tonight. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the way that you loved people. The message tonight is not, I want to send people to hell or I want them to go to condemnation. The message tonight is a Savior who is telling, warning, calling out to people saying, see me, walk with me, come into my kingdom. Yeah, that's what I want.
And so, Lord, tonight I pray that we would receive that. I know that there are many people who we know here in this room tonight, our friends, our family members, people who we will bump in tomorrow at work, who don't know you. And with the serious nature of entering into your kingdom, I pray, Lord, that we would live with that passion to share that with other people, the kingdom life that we've learned to love, that we love about our King, Lord, that we would share him and our life with other people. Lord, give us a passion for that tonight. Amen. And I love that. Like, you can walk in confidence and knowing that you are a son and daughter of the King, right? That we walk in confidence in this kingdom and knowing that you have a purpose, that Jesus was telling the group of people, hey, listen, you've got a purpose. You've got some treasures, both new and old, that you can share with people about this gospel, about this kingdom life. So I want to encourage you this week, go out and live out the kingdom life. Wake up tomorrow, look at yourself in the mirror, and just say, I'm going to live the kingdom life today. I'm going to live what God called me to live. Amen? Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.